Good morning. This is Irvin Schmidtke, Pastor Irvin Schmidtke from the Free Lutheran Church of Roseau, Minnesota, and also the Free Lutheran Church of Norland at Salo, Minnesota. Our mailing address is 1801 3rd Street Northeast, Roseau, Minnesota, 56751. We're bringing you this Sunday morning message, praying that God will bless you as you listen. Let us turn our hearts to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for each one that's listening. And we pray, O God, that the words spoken will be from you, that they will penetrate our hearts and our lives, helping us, O God, to get through the day, through the weeks and months ahead, praising you and glorifying you, realizing that you have come once. You have died for our sins and giving us salvation. We pray you'll be with the message now this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Then at this time, we would like to be favored with a song from Rhonda Rothenberger. Rhonda?
I'm satisfied with just a cottage.
To read the pericope lessons for today. The first one is found in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 18 through 26, reading in Jesus' name. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait patiently for the salvation of the Lord. The epistle text is found in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. The epistle lesson is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. These were thy words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. As we look at this portion of Scripture, we can find so very plainly a lot to talk about and a lot to say. We see Jesus praying probably the longest prayer in the Bible. He's praying first for himself, and then his disciples, and then all believers along with that. And he includes all of us in that. If we were to look at prayer in and of itself, we would find that the Webster Dictionary calls prayer one of many things. It has the act of practice of praying as to God, an earnest request, entreaty, or supplication, a humble and sincere request as one would make to God, an utterance in praise, thanksgiving, confession, and this would also be if we're thanking God for what he has done for us. And we find that these are some of the things that prayer is in the Webster Dictionary. Prayer is a source of communication between you and God. If you have Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, your prayer line is your line in which you talk to God, he talks to you, and he sends the Holy Spirit into you to lead you and guide you. As we look back into Lamentations, we find there that Lamentations was written by Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet from God, and God told Jeremiah, I knew you even before you were formed in the lower parts of the womb or the belly, and I have everything about you written down in the book. It tells us that there is a book of remembrance in which God writes down everything about us and everything we do, say, think, or the intent of our thoughts is written down, and one day we'll come into judgment for all of that. The thing the Christian has going for him is if he believes and has Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior, his sins are forgiven. And so through that we find that our salvation is with Christ in eternity and with Christ because we believe and we have him as our personal Lord and Savior. We find too that Jeremiah was very discouraged at times because no one would take and be converted under his preaching. He had no converts, yet he had a few friends, and in those friends, they kept him from jail. When they threw him in the cistern and tried to drown him, they brought him up out of there. And when Babylon took over Judah, then Jeremiah, it said, was made forced to go to Egypt, and he died there. He did not want to go. He wanted to stay in his own country. So we find Jeremiah wrote Lamentations. And in writing of the Lamentations, verses 22 and 23 is one after Jeremiah had taken and complained to God about all the things he didn't like. He realized and he knew that through God, his mercies are forever. And this is why we're not consumed, because God's compassion for us never fails. God sends, I send the rain on the just as well as the unjust. I send the sunshine on the just as well as the unjust. And my mercy is there for all of them. My compassion is there, hoping that they will realize that God not only created the heavens and the earth, but he has given us a way of salvation. If we look into Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews has written and made very plain the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ, and the salvation that Christ brings to us. And we see here, seeing that we have a high priest that has passed through the heavens. Jesus died on the cross. He rose again the third day. And he ascended. When he ascended into heaven, he went from earth all the way into the third heaven, as told us in Corinthians by Paul. And he came to the throne of God himself. And God says, you can sit at my right hand because you are my son, the one that went, I sent to earth. And when I sent you to earth, you completed the work I wanted you to do. You said only what I told you to say, and you didn't do anything else. You healed those I wanted you to heal. You brought back to life those that we wanted brought back to life. And so we see the plan of salvation, as Jesus tells us, was set up even before the foundation of the world was in place. Before anything happened in the world or the world was created, the plan of salvation was there. The triune God had already planned of this is what would happen, and this is how we would bring people back to God through Jesus Christ and through his suffering. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And it's through that Son then that we have salvation and creation. And we find that God created the heavens and the earth. Jesus was there with him. And Jesus was there all along. In Hebrews chapter 3, we would read, therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren. Jesus had to lay aside his deity and come to earth as a human being so that he could take and experience the same things you and I experience every day. Jesus was baptized. He went into the wilderness and prayed with God for 40 days. And then he was hungry. Satan came to him, it says, and told him, you are hungry. make these stones bread. And Jesus says, you shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God, and you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Three times Satan tried to tempt him in that particular instance. Then it says he left him for a while, and he says he tempted him many times, tried to tempt him as he come back time and time again through the Pharisees, through the Sadducees, through people not believing and people asking him many questions like, who is my neighbor? Why should I befriend someone? How often do I have to forgive? And God says, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, and they will have nothing against you, and it will be to you a good and a glorious thing that you can do. So we find that in Hebrews 2:17, we find that the high priest, which is Jesus Christ, had entered heaven. He went from earth all the way to heaven. In the Old Testament times, they could only go into the Holy of Holies one day a year, and that was the time in which they would take the sins of the people in and ask for forgiveness and have a sacrifice for them. When Christ was crucified, in this prayer he says, I have finished the work you gave me to do. And as he says this, he knew it was done. And on the cross, he says, it is finished. And when he died, the curtain between the Holy of Holies and where the people were was ripped in two from the top to the bottom, opening it up. And through Jesus Christ and through his sacrifice on the cross, we find that we have full assurance and full access to the throne of God. We don't have to go once a year. We don't have to have somebody else go. We can come to him. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And we find there that Jesus has opened that way of salvation for us. He has opened the way that we can come directly to God the Father through Jesus the Son, because Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes unto God the Father except through me. And if we look back into the scripture in which Jesus was praying here, he tells the, he prays to God, and he's saying, as you have given me authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. You see, as we accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, we have the Holy Spirit enter us and live in us. We can walk away from God. God says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. But you have the will to walk away if you want to. We find Cain killed Abel, and in that, he walked away from God, even though he talked with God and he says, Lord, you have to protect me that I'm not killed by somebody. And God set a mark on Cain that nobody was to hurt him. And Cain then was protected by God, yet Cain did not turn his heart over to the Lord in righteousness. We find the righteousness of Abraham, the righteousness of Moses, and the righteousness of David, even as much as they maybe did things wrong in their physical life, their righteousness was their belief that God was there, and he was the God that created the heavens and the earth. He's the God that can take each one of us and live through us out to those round about us. We find that in this, that God is willing to work with us through the Spirit of God and through all of the work that he has done through his Son, Jesus. If we wonder, am I a Christian? And we say, yes, I accept Christ. I know he died on the cross. I know all these facts, but I want him as my Lord and Savior. If we were to look in John 3:36, we find that he who believes in the Son of God has everlasting life. If you believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, if you believe that his Son died for you and gave you eternal life, Christ came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It tells us in Timothy that God wants all people to come to the knowledge of truth. In Romans, we read, how can they know if they haven't heard? And how can they hear if they haven't been had a preacher sent to them or someone to give them the word? Yet, creation itself tells us that there is a God that will live forever and forever, and a God that will not allow us to have any idols or worship anything but him and his Son, Jesus Christ, who he sent into the world because he loved the world so much that he wanted to redeem it. He has given us the will in which to choose. He has given us the will in which we can live for him or not. Let us realize the things coming on the world is from Satan. Satan is doing everything he can to upset God's providence, God's sending of Jesus into the world. Jesus was sent into the world to be our propitiation for our sin, or the payment for our sin. And so Jesus came, and we read then very plainly in Isaiah chapter 53, it says, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Think of that. We are healed because Jesus was willing to go to the cross of Calvary for you and for me. And as he prayed to God the Father, and we will continue this next Sunday and the following Sunday in this particular prayer, we find that in it, Jesus not only prays for himself first, he prays for his disciples also. And he says, I pray for those that you have given me, and I pray for those that you will hear from their words. You see, we look at the disciples, and Thomas said, I cannot believe if I don't see. And when he seen Jesus, Jesus says, here, Thomas, look at the marks in my hand, my feet, my side. You believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who do not see, but they believe because of your word. Blessed are those who believe because of the report you have given them. That Jesus came as a baby. He lived as a carpenter. He grew up in the ministry, and he gave his life in 3 years of ministry, telling the people of how God wants them to live. And then he gives his life as a ransom for all of our sin, for the whole world. And through this, we can know that he is our Lord and our Savior. It's by faith that we trust in him. It's by faith that we turn our hearts and lives over to him. It's by faith that we accept what he has said and done. Let us now pray then that God's blessings be not only with us, but help us to understand, help us to believe. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be with us, watching over us and keeping us, helping us, O God, that as we go day by day in our work, in our care, in the things that we have to do, that people would see your glory and that they would see your glory through us, that we are not looking for ourselves, but to glorify your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us and rose again that third day. We pray, O God, that you would be with each one listening and each one here, that as they hear, they will receive your Spirit and that they will receive salvation from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's have another song by Rhonda. Keep you. Go in peace.